CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast for November 18th, 2008. Believe it or not, this is take two of the CoOptiCast because I screwed up. So we're going to bring it back here and hopefully give you a better, more focused CoOptiCast, one that will be lost forever, is last night's.
You know what?
I'm here with...
Last night's podcast was actually pretty damn awesome, and
it was.
If we don't match the quality today, I'm just gonna shoot you repeatedly in Left 4 Dead.
Oh, thank you, Mike Katsoufrakis, everybody.
I'll join you. Make sure you're Zoe because she's annoying.
So yes, we're joined by two folks tonight, and that would be Jim McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. Otherwise known as Texas Hurricane.
Say the Texas.
I did say the Texas. Gotcha. I learned from last night. See, already we're doing better.
We're learning.
So we got a couple topics to cover tonight. There's been lots and lots of great games coming out this fall, and lots of great games with co-op. And this, I know we've all been playing a lot. So let's quickly go over what we've been playing. Mike, how about you go first?
Okay. Well, let's see. Gears of War 2, some Fable 2 co-op, some Rock Band 2, some Fallout 3, and a lot of Left 4 Dead demo. And that's... Oh, and Far Cry 2, which I hated at first, but now I'm really liking.
Cool, cool. And you got that. You actually won that at PAX.
Yeah,
right?
And it only took him a f***ing month to send it to me. Thanks.
And how about you, Jim? What have you been playing?
You know, I actually played a bit of Far Cry 2 when it first came out. I had to put it down for some other games, but I really did enjoy it. I've been playing a bit of Pure, kind of doing a little bit of catch-up there. Not a co-op game, but it's still a lot of fun. Been through the Left 4 Dead demo 4 or 5 times, and other than that, I've pretty much been occupied with Call of Duty World at War, trying to get all the modes in.
Yep, and I've been playing Call of Duty with you. We'll go over that in a second. Also been playing some Gears of War 2, some Fable 2 for co-op night. I played a ton of that. It was like 3 hours straight of Fable 2. And that was actually quite a bit of fun, despite the, you know, being down on the co-op. It was just fun to mess around in that and kind of talk to people and everything with that.
You and I had a pretty epic session.
Yeah, we basically slaughtered Bowerstone.
Repeatedly.
Everybody that was in it died a lot. Except for the kids, because you can't kill them, but you could bust down the doors, kill the parents in front of them, and they run away screaming in fear.
The best is when someone runs screaming by you, and you just pistol them in the back, and they go flying. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of got that goofy death animation physics thing going on, which is always good for a laugh.
Oh, yeah.
And let's not forget, we've all been dabbling with the NXE as well. That's fun to just screw around with for a little while.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how to shoot my avatar yet, but don't worry, I will.
When you learn how, let me know too. I gotta shoot that top hat off.
Hey.
So the NXT comes out actually in 2 days. Probably by the time you're listening to this, you will have the NXT in your hands. And it'll be good to see how everybody uses the party system and a lot of the other features. Because right now, and I know my friends list is pretty sparse with the avatars. You can tell who has it and who doesn't buy that. And so I'm looking forward to it. But so let's talk a bit about Call of Duty World at War. Jim and I played some 4-player co-op through that, through the campaign and through the zombie mode. The campaign mode is, it follows a single player story, but each mission is played separately. You don't kind of sit through it and go through with cutscenes and everything. You know, it's split out. You pick a mission, you get your guys together, you go in. You beat the mission, you come back out, you pick the next one. You can do it out of order, in any order. You can do all the missions right from the get-go. Nothing's locked.
Yeah, that's Jim, for the co-op, for the online version. Yeah,
right.
You can skip around if you want. And like I mentioned before, one of the saving graces in that is that it does queue up the next level for you each time you come back to the lobby. So it gives you a little bit of a forward movement. But for the most part, it does seem kind of a weird thing because for the split screen and for the solo, you can only move ahead as much as you've unlocked.
Right, yeah. And one of the things that's kind of... I don't know if it's disappointing, but you don't earn any of the the campaign achievements in the online thing. It doesn't save any progress or anything like that. It's just, you know, to kind of give you something else to do, a different way to experience the game. It does have a really cool arcade-like mode called competitive co-op, in which you get points for doing things, you know, killing enemies, reviving your teammates and things like that. And it kind of reminds me of Halo 3 with their scoring system.
Yeah, and it also has on the online, it also has a death card system, which is a lot like Halo 3's skulls. They're cheats that can be activated. They don't affect the overall story or how you unlock things, but it does affect the scoring itself. Mike, why don't you take away what you were talking about last night regarding the realism and the violence?
Oh, yeah. Last night we had a quick little discussion about how I kind of think that the addition of all the violence to this one is a little bit, I wouldn't say insulting or offensive, but it does raise some flags to me. You know, some of us have relatives that, you know, were in World War II, and for us to not only, like, the games kind of glorify the battles of World War II, and to put all this over-the-top violence into World at War seems just a little weird to me. I personally have a lot of problem with games being based on historical events, especially ones that are hit kind of close to home to people, but it's pretty much up to the developers to make that call. You know, I personally think it would be pretty jarring to see a battle that took place in real life being replicated in a video game form and taking the horrors of war and turning it into entertainment.
The one thing to remember, the Pacific Theater was actually, you know, a really bloody guerrilla style war in World War II. So it is a bit more brutal and stuff. I don't really have a problem with, I don't think it glorifies it so much. I think the game does a good job of trying to band you together with the characters in the game. So, you know, when somebody dies, you actually, you know, you feel somewhat of attachment or a loss to it. I mean, it is just a video game, but it does attempt to do that. The only thing I've found that, and this was actually something that was brought up on a site on the internet, which I won't name, but the trailer for the game actually had like kind of this like rock music thing going through it. Yeah, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but wasn't too bad. But it actually uses that music in the game for certain parts.
Yeah,
and that actually kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because that did glorify things and that did make it. It felt out of place, you know, when there's kind of like an orchestral music that's kind of a little bit somber. Maybe, you know, it's not. The rock music kind of makes it almost upbeat and like very primal. And, you know, maybe that's what they were trying to convey, but I can definitely see that being offensive to some people.
Also, what Mike was talking about before, if I may put words in your mouth there, Mike,
sure.
Is that the zombie mode that they threw in almost seems like a celebration of the way that they were able to implement the violence and the gore.
Yeah.
And I could see where he's coming from there as well.
Yeah, and what I was saying is that, the zombie mode actually seems pretty cool, and Nick and Jim both expressed their pleasure in playing it. To me, it seems really out of place in a game that's supposedly based on reality. I kind of have a weird line where I think, you know, if you base your World War II game on actual battles and you try and tell a story that is historically accurate to a point, you can't get away with throwing zombies in your game and calling it, you know, just in the name of fun. I think you'd really have to do some kind of fantastical, fictional World War II game, you know, like a Wolfenstein or a, you know, Operation Darkness or whatever that crappy strategy RPG was. And so I think it would fit in a game like that, but in a game like this, it just really does seem out of place to me.
Yeah, so the zombie mode that Mike's talking about is a four-player co-op mode that is unlocked upon beating the single-player campaign. And basically what it is it's you and three other people up in holed up in like a house, and there's four windows or entrances that these zombies can kind of pour through, and after you take out a wave of zombies, they get a little bit faster and a little bit stronger. and they'll tear down like the windows and the doors and stuff. And you can actually, by killing them, you get points, and those points can be used to buy the boards and stuff like that to fortify everything again. I mean, it's basically, if you ever played the pseudo zombie mode in like Halo 2, where people just kind of made it up, it's kind of like that. And so the strategy that comes in the zombie mode is that you can actually unlock other areas of this house, and by doing that you have access to other weapons. And so you start out in the first room, you have a bolt action rifle and a semi-automatic rifle, but you can open another room and then you can get like a Tommy gun and a shotgun, or you can go another way, you can get some grenades and a BAR. The trade-off of that is you add more areas for the zombies to come in, so while you get better weapons, you have the potential for more areas to cover. So it's a strategy payoff. It's a really unique, fun kind of a thing to do, but you know, it doesn't really fit in the whole scope of things, especially with how you have to play through the single player to unlock this co-op multiplayer kind of a feature. One of the things I had said last night when we first recorded this was it would have been really cool to have that as a separate Xbox Live Arcade download,
yeah.
You know, a $10 or $15 thing on the PlayStation Network or Xbox Live Arcade or whatever. You know, so me and Jim and his brother and I think one of his brother's friends, we played, I don't know, good hour of it the one morning.
Something like that.
It was quite a bit of fun.
Well, you know, looking at the game as a whole, it does seem really out of place. And all politics and things aside, this mode really is the way it's implemented is great for co-op play. It really forces you to work together. Not only do you have to trust people to watch your back, but you have to communicate, because someone's going to invariably go unlock an area that you don't know they're headed for and open up three or four more windows where the zombies come pouring in. Or at some point they're going to go back into a room that you no longer have secured, and then they get attacked and nobody can make it in there to get to them. By that point, it's difficult to reload. You just don't even have the time. They come pouring in so fast. So it really requires you to trust each other no matter who you are, and talk to each other, even if sometimes that means barking at somebody or telling them good job or straighten up that aim.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely forces teamwork and stuff, and you definitely have to communicate. Because if one person goes down, then the whole thing can suddenly collapse at you. You have to change your strategy kind of midstream and stuff and decide who's going to go revive that guy. And, you know, we had kind of did this thing where like, okay, let's open up this side room. Let's all go in there. We'll get the stronger guns and we'll use the door we just opened as a choke point. And we'll have two people, you know, focus on there and the other two people can focus on the other thing. So that seemed to work. We got to
12,
was it, like wave 12 or so. But it's definitely you know, a lot of tension, a lot of adrenaline, and a lot of yelling and screaming.
It's a lot of fun.
They're coming!
And I know we're trying to keep pace here. Before we go on, I wanted to say one more thing, and I'm kind of backtracking here, and that is when you were talking about not being able to get the challenges or the achievements in the online co-op mode, there's a bit of a trade-off, is when you play online co-op, you actually can earn XP just as if you were playing the versus mode. And I just saw today, and I put a post in the forum, that they've put up a very, very detailed stats system on CallOfDuty.com, whereas you can go to your game online, get your code, and link it up to your profile on Call of Duty. So far, they haven't made it to where you can sort it by game type, but if they did, I would hope that they would start putting in the zombie mode and the co-op stats as well. But that's just wishful thinking.
Cool. Okay, so another game that Mike and I have been playing is Gears of War 2.
Yes.
And an interesting thing about that we wanted to talk about was a difference in the design of it, in that the co-op actually seems to get a little bit of a favor, in that for people that play it single player, some of the parts in it actually seem a lot more difficult because they don't have a co-op partner to help them through it. And usually what we find in games that have co-op is it's the opposite. It's just, you know, it's held back by the co-op play. There's something from the single player that's holding the co-op play back. So this is a reverse of the roles. And so I played through the entire game actually in one sitting co-op. Well, almost one sitting, about 9 hours straight and then a little bit some the next day. And Mike played mostly single player, right? You said like 60-40?
Yeah, I play about 40% of it with a partner. And, you know, normally when you play a game in co-op, the game difficulty scales upward, you know, to account for the second human player in. But, you know, Gears seems to be tailored very difficult for a single player game to almost encourage you to co-op, whereas in Gears 1, you know, your AI partners weren't exactly Einstein, but they tended to kill stuff a lot pretty efficiently. And Gears 2, it's almost as if they dumbed down your partner AI a bit, because I found the computer-controlled Dom to be, you know, much less useful in any fight, especially when you get to bosses. He just kind of stands around and looks. So it puts a lot of pressure on you in the single-player game, and, you know, I like playing Gears on hardcore mode, so, you know, I said, oh, my Gears of War e-penis is enormous, so let's go, you know, beat this game down as hard as I can before I unlock Insane. So I'm going through and having a blast, and then you get to just a few parts of the game where having the co-op partner makes something that will be incredibly frustrating in the single-player experience almost a cakewalk. There's a few specific points that I definitely did not enjoy. One being the boss at the end of the level where you're riding the boat down the river. And I won't spoil it for you, but there's a segment at the end where you have several hot spots that you need to be shooting. And it's kind of hard to get an angle on half of it when you're not able to move very well. But if you got a co-op partner standing there, you both can just cover half of this, and the boss that was fairly challenging before suddenly becomes a cakewalk. And that seemed pretty... It pretty much, you know, exposed that they wanted you to play this co-op, because there are other bosses that work the same way, and there's another section where things are flying at you, and they can knock you off this platform. And if you're not shooting with 100% accuracy as a single player, you're not going to beat it. But if you've got a co-op partner with you, you pretty much breeze straight through it, because you'll... You know, the combined damage of both of you will knock everything down pretty quickly. And it's still a fantastic single-player game, and it's still, you know, just as Gears 1 was the best co-op game, in my opinion, before, Gears 2 just raises the bar, and it's so much fun.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, really the only time that I found that me and my buddy had a hard time was actually, you know, in some of the bigger firefights, when we'd actually go and try and revive the other person was usually when we ended up dying and having to restart. It wasn't necessarily at the boss fights, or even, you know, you had said some of the vehicle sections were kind of tough for you. You know, we got through those pretty easily, most of them on like our first try. It usually had to do with us trying to save the other person was when we had trouble.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff. And, you know, the best part about it was even after you complete the single player, there's another co-op mode in it called Horde. That is a five-player co-op mode, and basically, you know, it's kind of like the zombie mode that we were just talking about in Call of Duty, in that you face wave after wave of enemies, and after each wave, they get harder and harder. But what you can do in the Horde mode, actually, there's I think 10 multiplayer maps, and you can play Horde mode on any of those multiplayer maps, mm-hmm. and each one has a strength and a weakness and stuff, and you can see that even some of those maps were designed for Horde mode, and where there's kind of like one point where, you know, you can hunker down and everyone can get there and defend it, and, you know, there's weapons and ammo nearby and stuff like that. So we've been given a good run through that, a couple of us. We played that a couple nights this weekend, actually. We had a group of guys up to about 1 a.m. We played about 2.5 or 3 hours straight, made it to wave 20. And then didn't quite survive.
Well, but, mind you, we were playing on, once again, hardcore difficulty.
Right.
And, you know, I wouldn't say any of us are particular Gears savants, but we're certainly not bad at this game, but it's definitely pretty rough.
Yeah, you know, I actually meant to check the leaderboards last night, because you do get, like, a score for the Horde mode,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be curious to see how well we fare on the leaderboards, because we are playing on hardcore, so it is harder, and we do get, you know, more points for doing things,
right?
So I definitely want to check that out. I don't know, any other thoughts about Horde mode? You know, oh, one thing, actually, it's a good thing that we had that extra day, because an interesting story came out today and that Horde mode is actually the most popular online mode in Gears of War.
That's not surprising at all. It really isn't.
So, you know, despite the first game being a very strong, you know, versus game, it was always, you know, in the top, like, five Xbox Live games. The Horde mode, the non-competitive mode was actually, you know, the most popular. And I thought that was pretty cool. It showed just how much people enjoy the co-op play and the teamwork and everything that goes there. So that made me pretty happy.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's very similar to the zombie mode in World at War, in that you're defending, you pretty much find one central location to defend. Your group may move here and there as, you know, as you're chasing ammo or land traps or whatnot, but, you know, grabbing, you know, boom shields and, you know, fortifying your location with more cover, making the sniper spot there, you know, on the river map, there's sniper spots that are really great vantage points, but there's no cover behind them. But if you have a co-op partner, bring a boom shield upstairs and plant it, you can now have a sniper spot and cover. So it leaves room for a lot of inventive play, and you can plant grenades as landmines, you know, behind positions, so you don't have to worry about something sneaking up behind you. But I thought the best part of it was the realization that the new battle camera that they added to the game basically made players that got knocked out by being killed into basically battlefield commanders. You have a vantage point over the entire battlefield. You can swing around to any angle, spectate from any player's viewpoint, and you can really help call out the shots to people that may not be seeing something that's coming around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, you can let them know how many you know, enemies are left on a map and stuff like that, because sometimes it's tough to tell, you know,
until there's five left. There's just a meter that kind of ticks down, like a visual meter. Yeah. It's not a numbered meter, but once there's five left, it ticks. But if there's six left, you don't know. So it's kind of nice.
One of the cool things about that battle cam I was messing around with is you can actually take screenshots of it.
Yep.
That is cool.
And you can upload those to the Gears of War website.
For an achievement.
Yeah. But you get like a score or something with, you know, depending on what's in the shot. I don't know if it's user rated or game rated and stuff.
Huh.
And it does a really nice job. It kind of applies some like post-processing filters on it to give it a little bit of a stylized look. So I thought that was pretty cool, and I was having fun trying to get, you know, lots of Gibbs and blood on the screen at the same time and whatnot. So I didn't get a chance to upload those yet.
Ever since playing Driver on the original PlayStation with the neat little replay mode they had there and the different cameras that you could have set up and could manually control and record it all, I've been saying, you know, they need to put this in every game that they can. There's only one thing cooler than watching yourself play, and that's playing the game itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys may not agree with that. That sounds so thin, but I can spend 2 hours on Halo 3 and another hour getting good screenshots and video clips from the time I was playing.
Yeah.
Well, everybody loves to share that awesome moment you had. You know, you can talk about it, but when you show somebody, like, you know, a lot of the times it ends up being some stupid, crazy, like, physics glitch or something like that. Be like, oh, look how the rocket went through his butt. Isn't that awesome? You know? Something like that. But
my personal favorite one was when I was, for Halo 3 at least, I was inside a bunker, and I was the last person left on my team, and I forget which mode we were playing, and three or four guys from the opposing team all walked through the door in sequence, and I shotgunned each one in the head as they walked through. And I recorded the film of that, and I played it over and over and over again because it was pretty embarrassing for them to eat that much buckshot to the face.
Nice. So yeah, so the last game we wanted to talk about tonight is Left 4 Dead, which releases in about 3.5 hours or so.
Yep.
Officially, it'll be, if you have Steam, then your copy will be unlocked at 12:01
Yeah, that's you guys' time zone.
Yeah. Well, so that means you get it a little bit earlier.
No, actually later. I get it. I have to wait an extra hour.
They roll it out by time zone. They detect where you are.
Oh, really? Lame.
I believe that's how the spreadsheet.
Time to change your computer clock.
Right.
So yeah, so that comes out soon. We've all been playing a lot of the demo. I think we've all been enjoying the demo. I know I've played through it at least half a dozen times with various people, not just Mike and Jim, but a couple other people. And you know, every time it's been a lot of fun, and everyone just, I've heard nothing but positive comments about it. And one of the things we wanted to talk about was actually Jim before we. You know, he even played it. There wasn't so much interest in it and stuff. I guess it mildly interested you. You were just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever.
You know, I think all guys our age have this ingrained, programmed in need to survive against any odds, and that's something apocalyptic type storylines do interest me, and zombies not so much. So I kind of had passed this one off.
So after playing the demo, though, you kind of changed your tune, right?
The experience that I had the first time, yeah, you know, I kind of said, all right, well, here's my chance to play with Nick and Mike. That's what I'm going for, no matter what I think of the game. But I ended up really enjoying myself, got a lot of good thrills. We got to know each other a little better, had some laughs, and overall it was just a great experience. Since then, it hasn't been all that glorious. But yeah, at the same time, there has been some fun times and some not so fun. I think really what it comes down to, and I hope I don't spoil our whole segment by bringing this out right now, but that is, it's all about who you're playing with.
Right. Well, that's co-op games in general. It's tough to play with random folks in co-op games because if you play with somebody a lot, you kind of learn their tendencies, and it can make the experience that much better. You know, and especially if you know the person personally, you already have a connection with them. But when you play with random people, sometimes, you know, I've actually found some really good experiences I've had with just random folks. I mean, let's face it, Xbox Live, it's a cesspool of immature, whatever you want to call them. So
it's the wretched hive of scum and villainy of the gaming community.
With their parents' credit cards.
Yeah, I think, though, that the people that do play co-op in general, I think maybe 7 out of 10 times you're going to find a decent person to play with. But, you know, there's still that 30% chance that, you know, somebody crying for their chocolate milk.
I also kind of worry about the replayability of this. I know that there's going to be times where you can play with somebody random and just mesh and find some new friends. There'll be times when somebody will be new to the game and you'll get to walk them through some areas and kind of mentor them. Even though the game is not going to play the same each time, you'll have a bit of experience on them. But I do worry about how many people you're going to come across that are just going to try and do speed runs. I played with someone who had played the demo like 1,000 times, and he was really irritable and just very impatient about every little thing, and it kind of ruined it for me. It kind of soured it a little bit.
That's why you need to play with us, because we're awesome.
It's so awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, so one of the things that Left 4 Dead has, it's been kind of its bullet point feature, is something called the AI Director. And what this is supposed to do, it's supposed to make the game a lot more dynamic by it's strategically placing enemies in the maps, as well as strategically placing, you know, weapons and ammo and things like that. And one of the things that the demo lacks that we haven't seen yet, and it was something that was only shown at E3, was the director is supposed to have like these kind of payoff moments where if your team is doing really good and everything, you'll get to like a section and some big cool thing will happen, some, you know, action movie moment. And the video that we've seen before was like something of like a gas station, and it first showed a team that wasn't doing as good. They kind of went to the gas station, they killed some guys, a little bit of fire, blah blah blah, that was it. But then the team that was doing good got there, and it was a much bigger firefight, a lot more zombies and stuff, but it had this payoff moment where the gas station just kind of exploded and things were collapsing and, you know, zombie guts were flying everywhere. And so we didn't get to see that in the demo. We had talked about that maybe the one room at the end where it's kind of like a boiler room and zombies are pouring in from different directions. That might have kind of been a director moment because I know personally I saw the most variety happen in that room, But I'm curious because there is, I think there's five chapters, is I think what they're calling it in Left 4 Dead, and each one kind of has their own unique scenario. So I'm guessing there's probably one big payoff moment in each one.
You know, I've played probably four or five times, and in that particular room, I've had it where there's been literally one or two zombies where one shotgun blast and they're gone. And then I've actually come in one time, and there was a tank and a witch, as well as a gaggle of zombies, before we even opened the door.
Man, I was playing on the demo again on my PC on Advance, and we had a the subway level when you first drop down out of the safe room, and there's the area with the columns.
Mm-hmm.
There was a tank in there, and he threw me around that room like I was a rag doll. It was intense. I was like, I really just had no idea what to do. I was just, I had an auto shotgun at that point, and I was just pumping buckshot every which direction, trying to hit the guy. And it was pretty intense. And I'd actually never had that guy pop up in my demo play on the PC. We had it once on the 360, but you kind of forget that some of the boss monsters exist because they throw the boomer and the hunter and the smoker at you so often. And when a witch or a tank shows up, you're like, oh, there are these guys too. What am I going to do?
Yeah, we actually, that last room, so a couple times I played, I had the witch actually in the subway. I think maybe two of the times she was in the subway. And a couple other times she wasn't even in there at all. Mm-hmm. But then the one time they actually put the witch right by the safe room door.
Yep.
And she, she sits there and she like cries, right?
Didn't she take Scott out that time?
Yeah. Okay, you were playing with us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So she's just sitting there by the door, and you're like, what do we do? And Scott, the genius that he is,
did he turn it? I thought he turned his flashlight on.
I think that's what it was. That. Yeah, he had forgotten we got through that huge. We opened the door and got through all those zombies running in, and forgot to turn his flashlight back off.
Yeah. So she kind of got mad, and I think ate his face
and jumped on him repeatedly.
I'm going to give the game the benefit of the doubt here because I do have a concern that once you've gotten through a couple of sections of the campaign, or chapters rather, with the demo we've already seen all these different types of zombies and a couple of bosses. I'm going to go ahead and give the developers in the game the benefit of the doubt and say that I'm going to look forward to the more unique surprises and set pieces and other types of characters that they have. Because there is a concern there that we've seen what there is to offer as far as enemies and situations.
Well, there is one level in particular that I haven't played yet, but it's the one that takes place on the farm in the cornfield.
Oh, I cannot wait to play that.
And that, to me, just seems like you have no idea where they're going to be coming from, because all you're going to see is the corn stalk shaking in the distance as they sprint at you. So I think the set pieces they've cooked up are going to be good. The core gameplay is always going to stay the same throughout. The strategies will probably differ a bit, but Valve is very good at supporting their games, especially their you take a look at Team Fortress 2 at release and Team Fortress 2 now, and they are completely different games because they always go back and tune and retune and add new content. And I guess Left 4 Dead has about 20 maps between all the missions in the campaign. And right. I can't imagine that, say, a year from now, there's 20 more. They are just so good at supporting. They're like Epic. Epic does the same thing. They constantly push out content for Unreal Tournament and Gears.
Mm-hmm. Well, the game is definitely ripe for DLC of any kind because, the way they have those chapters split out is they're supposed to be like little mini movies. They even kind of have like a movie poster before it, and it has, your character's name and stuff, mm-hmm. and your tag or your gamer tag there. So, it just seems to have, it seems really ripe to have these kind of like little mini 4 or 5 map DLC pieces that are new, scenario to be put in. I mean, everybody, like you said, like the farmhouse thing, that's kind of like a cliched scenario, but it's, that's one everybody wants to play, right?
Right.
And we've seen one where like they're trapped on the top of a building and stuff, and their zombies are crawling up the skyscrapers and jumping around at you and stuff. And that's, it's all these like kind of cliched, like Hollywood kind of zombie things. Mm-hmm. But that's what we want to play, right? We want. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Dead Rising style scenario,
yeah,
right?
With a shopping mall. Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to do that. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential there for sure.
Only if I can take a Blues Brother car through it.
There's one screenshot, and it's the very first screenshot of Left 4 Dead I ever saw, and it's something that really stuck. And it's something that we haven't seen in the demo at all. There's a very specific early screenshot of the game which shows Zoe clinging for dear life because she got thrown off a ledge and another player is pulling her up. Yeah. And there's no situation where you'd see something like that in the demo levels. But it frankly wouldn't surprise me at all if they find new ways to spring traps on or put players in peril in the other missions of campaign.
That'd be an awesome game mechanic to have if, you know, you can actually almost get knocked off buildings and stuff and you're sitting there clinging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you gotta, you know, as your co-op partner, you're leaning over and you're looking down to pull them up and you see all the zombies down below and stuff.
Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome.
By the time everyone listens to this, they'll probably have already gotten a few hours in. But you know,
nobody's going to listen to this because they're going to be playing the game.
Hopefully, right? It's, you know, discussions like the last 5 minutes or so really is, you know, it's good for the listeners and the gamers. They can kind of take faith in what's going to happen because $10 million of advertising and, what, 3 gameplay videos out there?
Yeah. They actually, I think I saw that they released one today and I couldn't get it to play and it was making me mad. It was on, like, game videos. And it was actually like a sponsored, it had like a little sponsored tag on
Weird.
It, which made me curious, but I could not get it to play. So it was called like Inferno. It was like Left 4 Dead Inferno trailer or something like that. So,
and you know what else stands out to me in trusting that this game is going to deliver on everything it promised is our experience with it when we played at PAX. You know,
yeah,
the fact that whenever anybody was running through the demo, there was an audience. And everyone,
oh yeah,
you know, cheered and, you know, gasped when things happened, and it was just so visceral.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that played it or even watched it was having fun, and you could definitely see that there. You know, with 60,000 people or whatever it was that came through PAX,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would venture to say that everyone stopped or played that game
or tried to and had to wait in
or
line.
Tried to.
Had to wait in line an hour and a half to even get to the front.
You know, I saw today that there are already 3 or 4 reviews up of the final version, and they're generally very, very favorable. I'm really looking forward to the Co-Optimus co-op review.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't know what the plans are for that yet. Probably next week sometime.
Yeah, pry us out of the game long enough to write 1,000 words on the game.
Oh, come on, you're going to finish it first, right?
multiple times.
There you go.
I'm glad this game is, you know, the nail in the coffin for this gaming season. You know, it's been a really hectic and busy fall with lots of good co-op games for PC, 360, PS3. I mean, everything had some sort of, you know, half a dozen co-op games on it. So it's good that they saved the best for last, hopefully, here. And it gets us through for quite some time through the cold winter nights.
Yes.
The games that are going to benefit the most are things like Tom Clancy's Hawks and stuff that's been delayed or aiming for a late spring release of 2009 because gamers will be ripe for a new game after about 3 or 4 months of grinding over the ones that they all got for Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, and it looks like already like February, March time frame, we're going to have things like Halo Wars, Resident Evil 5, you know, Hawks maybe. There's going to be quite a few good co-op games coming early next year.
Yep.
All right, so I think that about wraps up another Co-Opticast, and this time it will record.
if it doesn't record, remember the threat I made at the top of the podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Hey, tell them about the Steam and the games for Windows.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, we wanted to go about 2 last items of business here. So with Left 4 Dead, we have launched a Steam group that you can join called Co-Optimus. So just give a search for Co-Optimus or hit up co-optimus.com and find the Steam group link. It's a public group. Anybody can join, and we'll definitely be getting some co-op nights together on Steam. So it's the first thing. The next thing, we are going to be launching a new co-op gaming night with the Games for Windows folks. And that's going to be a once-a-month thing as well. And you'll see that promoted on gamesforwindows.com and the Games for Windows Marketplace when that launches next month.
That is very
cool. Yeah, and our first game is going to be Gears of War, and it's going to be December 9th, I believe. So that should be pretty cool. I added a couple of little things to our database to help the Games for Windows folks find exactly what Games for Windows co-op games there are. I think we have about 8 right now, with two or so coming next year. Like Dawn of War 2 is the biggest one. Although nothing's official yet, we've heard that it's going to be like an entire co-op campaign through the whole game. So
I haven't looked at that yet on the Games for Windows. Have they put up our bot logos or anything?
Not yet. I sent them the stuff today, so they're gonna come up with the landing page, and
they need to use the Gears Billy.
I should send them that. You know what? I didn't, but I could do that.
We'll get on it.
We need more cigars.
So, yeah. So I thank you guys for taking another night out of your busy gaming schedules to re-record this. I am sorry again.
Okay. It's been a tremendous honor again.
So this has been the Co-op Cast for Co-Optimist.com. Thanks for listening.